Ask Catherine. Several people sent us, stories of unbelievably bizarre things going on. We posted them, or some of them, on the website. ABC producer murdered in Belize. Police question husband, wife stabbed to death inside 2.5 million home, exclusive New York suburb. We also posted a story about road rage in Arizona. A woman was in an accident with a Chinese student, got out of her car and shot the Chinese student to death. So we're seeing reports coming all around the country that people are under terrible stress and bad things are happening. And much of the dysfunction and sort of safety issues that you've seen in the poor neighborhoods is now moving everywhere, as these stories indicate. Hello, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber as of this week. I love your big picture brain, its vision summary, and most importantly, your synergy and synopsis of it all. Well, thank you. My question to you is this. Given that Texas and Colorado are major sinkholes of the black budget money, do you think it's wise to live there? Pros and cons appreciated, or is it better just visit? I'm from Colorado and living in Oregon currently. I want to come home back to Colorado, so this is a strategic question of sorts. You are awesome. Thank you for doing what you do. Sincerely yours. Here's the pro. The pro on Texas and Colorado, as a result of being major sinkholes for the black budget money, they are resource rich. There's a tremendous amount of talent, and reinvestment in 3.0 is happening in very significant ways. And within that, within that environment where the reinvestment is happening and there's an effort to attract the top talent, in many ways, there's a lot more freedom and innovation. There's a lot more juice. So that's an advantage. The problem is you need to give the black budget folks a wide berth. Avoid them, certainly avoid coming to their attention. You do not want to cross them or give them trouble or make yourself a target for them in any way. How not to do that is complicated. I'm at a loss because, my head is filled with thousands of expert rules, and how to put that into a simple system, I'm not quite sure how to do. I think the big negative is your children. If you look at what happened at Columbine, if you look at what happened to JonBenet Ramsey, the young child who was killed probably in a pedophilia event, if you look at the Colorado shooting a couple years ago, these are all kids who were particularly smart or particularly pretty, and they got pulled into the black budget guys to serve as patsies or sex slaves, drugged, mind control. Now, that can happen anywhere, but when you're in a particularly serious black budget area, I have no way of knowing if it happens more, but it certainly, from what I've seen, happens. So you have to, if you have kids, you have to have a much much more powerful covering over them, if you will. I mean, if I was in one of those areas, I'd want to homeschool. I'd want to strictly limit or supervise their access to smartphones and online use. I would keep a very close watch. I'd screen their children, their friends very carefully, and associates like coaches very carefully, and I would account for all of their time. I would just be unbelievably careful. So that's the big negative. If you don't have kids, I think it's a bigger story, but I think the question is, if you want to live there, how do you know to give the black budget folks a wide berth? I think when you're in those areas, you need to be a little bit more careful and a little bit appreciate that, that covert forces may be at work. So think of it as a little bit more healthy paranoia. But as I said, it can happen anywhere because there's the covert threads throughout every county in America. Then a wonderful and long message from a subscriber. Part of this is about investment strategy, and I can't give investment strategy advice on the Solari report, but one of the things they point out is when you understand what's really going on and you're very knowledgeable about what's going on, it's hard to find people. That's in fact why we like to have these lunches. This is someone who hasn't plugged into the various people in their particular area, and we're not going to have a lunch there soon, so I'm going to see what I can do to network. We have tried introducing people through the website long ago, and what we found is, you know, it's not an environment where, you know, you want to be very, very careful. That's like why I like to have lunches and introduce people to each other in person. Hi, Catherine. In 2016, get ready, get ready, get ready. That's in the wrap up. You stated the one of your concerns was the many unanswered questions about Fukushima. Being a new subscriber, I've not heard about these unanswered questions and your concerns. I recently read a sworn court affidavit by Benjamin Fulford containing an incredible report on Fukushima, which can be found here. Is this part of your question about Fukushima, and does this possibility just add to them? I'd like to hear your thoughts. I don't use Fulford as a source. I'm not comfortable doing so. So that's not part of my unanswered questions. I posted a video from Arnie Gunderson on Solari.com this week to sort of help you. I think he's one of the good sources about what's happening in the nuclear industry in Fukushima. Dear Catherine, you had previously mentioned that in your opinion, the growth and development of Las Vegas was connected to the need to launder money in order to fund the operations going on in Area 51. In your opinion, is this why the Mafia were the original owners of the Las Vegas casinos to keep this all underground? I think the Mafia were the original owners because they had the capital and capacity, and they were already doing major money laundering with the U.S. intelligence agencies so they could launder in agency funds and maintain those books. If you're interested in the early years of Las Vegas, Sally Denton and Roger Morris have a wonderful book on Las Vegas, and it describes the fact that one of the lead investors, I think one of the two largest investors in Las Vegas, was the Mormon Church. So, interesting bedfellows. Dear Catherine, I recently read two internet articles by a man named Miles Mathis, and in these articles, he presents some very powerful information indicating that the Manson family Sharon Tate murder was fabricated to discredit the hippie and Vietnam anti-war movement, and in addition, he contends that the O.J. Simpson trial was fabricated, made for TV theater with Nicole Simpson dyeing her hair and playing her sister in media interviews. But interestingly, there apparently is no record of Nicole ever having had a sister. Do you believe that these two events could have been fabricated? I have no idea. Events like this, in my opinion, are either created or taken advantage of to create distractions or, you know, sort of generic smear campaigns of various kinds. So my response is to not let them distract me, and frankly, I ignore them. If everyone would do the same, they would happen much less. In fact, when the O.J. Simpson trial happened, or when the initial incident happened, I had just given away my TV. And so I had no idea what was going on. And about 4 days after it happened, I was sitting at dinner, and everybody kept saying O.J. Simpson. And finally, in the middle of the dinner, I said, "Why is everybody talking about O.J. Simpson?" And everyone at the dinner table looked at me like I had just landed from outer space. And in then hearing their stories, what I realized that in 4 days, they had probably had the story told to them or reinforced by all different forms of media, you know, more than 100 times. And I realized, oh, you know, this is why I really don't need a TV. Anyway, the time that I spend not watching this stuff is the time I spend figuring out how the money works, which is a far more instructive way of going about figuring out what's really going on. New question. Holy crap, this one made me sick to my stomach. Another Afghan boondoggle the administration was trying to hide as they tried to hightail it out of the country. Thankfully, they were caught. Should be some jail time for those who were behind this fiasco. And then they send a link, which I sent in to post on the website. It's a story by Sharon Atkinson about a $500 million purchase of Italian planes for Afghanistan and the Afghani Air Force that turned out not to work and essentially were grounded and then turned into scrap. They were turned into metal and sold for $32,000. So imagine $500 million getting marked down to $32,000. My thought is that jail time is highly unlikely. It was probably a deal of some kind to keep Italy in NATO or a laundry of some kind. It's impossible to tell. If anyone goes to jail, it will be a DOD contracting officer used as a scapegoat who's not the real perp. So be careful about asking for someone's head, as you're likely to get an innocent party or patsy. That's just how those things work, you have to address it at a higher level. Dear Catherine, in December, Vanguard notified me that the SEC will require in October 2016 all money market funds used for settlement closings to hold those funds in a special federal securities account subject to limitations and penalties. This sounds like the government wants to use the volatility and instability being deliberately created as an excuse to stuff our accounts with U.S. securities with other countries while when other countries flee the dollar. Do you see things this way? Would you discuss the relative safety of our retirement and banking accounts from this type of intrusion or outright theft, and outline, if you can, a sense of when to really get alarmed and what potential actions we can take? Thank you for being such a touchstone in these interesting times. I want to research the SEC action and take a look some more. There's real concern about liquidity problems in the money markets, which are absolutely legitimate. If you look at the way the regulators had to and the Fed had to step in during 2008, I think they're trying to make the industry a little bit stronger. Federal securities could help avoid that problem because the problem will tend to be the bank and corporate CDs. At the same time, there's no doubt as the market share of the dollar shrinks, the Fed is constantly and the Treasury is constantly looking for a way to soak up more and more cash. But I would like to do some research, and I think the time is coming when we're going to have a Saleri report on cash management and how to handle this exact issue. So I thank you for your question, but I think it warrants, in fact, a full Saleri report at some point. Hi, Catherine. I've been a member for a while and have been dying to attend a subscriber lunch. I thought reaching out to you when you mentioned you were visiting Rhode Island over the holidays. I'm originally from Newport, Rhode Island. Wait a minute. I'm originally from Newport, Rhode Island, but currently live in Santa Monica. Unfortunately, my travel plans didn't line up over the holidays and just discovered you would be in San Rafael over the weekend for the conference. Unfortunately, I can't attend, but if you happen to be traveling through Southern California area, I would be delighted to attend a lunch. Please keep me posted if there's a possibility. I thank you for your efforts in Saleri. I can't tell you how much I've benefited and grown from your work. Here's to a free and inspired 2016 and beyond. Well, thank you so much for saying that. I love to hear that we're useful. Our next lunch will be in New York City on April 30. If it's anything like last year, it's even worth flying to New York for the weekend. It was so marvelous. I have no plans for Southern California. We did a Palm Springs, Palm Desert a few years ago. I'm planning to be in San Francisco in the fall. So if that comes to fruition, then I'll try and do one there and maybe you can come north. And then someone posted this afternoon, so I thought I'd read it during Ask Catherine. I'm a new subscriber and wish I had joined years ago. The slow burn also applies to the upper middle class and upper classes. Absolutely, you bet. I see it all the time. I connected this partially to a statement I heard in one of your Saleri interviews when you said, sometimes you have to look in the mirror and admit that you were the patsy. Buying into social class and the lifestyle that goes with it and seeking the social acceptance class reinforcement does indeed make many people the patsy. Great comment. Couldn't agree more. Another example, many of the individuals who were taken down by Bernie Madoff weren't quite as rich as they found, fooled themselves into thinking. They would have eventually gone bankrupt or close to it, as the saying goes, in the sun also rises. Quote, how did you go bankrupt? Quote, slowly at first, then suddenly. Very astute comment also on the Bernie Madoff situation, which I've had an opportunity to look close at. Catherine, can you please brace yourself for more collapse paranoia than ever in 2016 and put together some kind of special report that will give people a definitive think-it-through process so they will present themselves from being taken in by the chicken little skies falling influences that are all over the alternative media and in many of the investment commercials on Fox News? Yes, I will do that. There is a need, so thank you very much for that. Let's go to the movies. Our movie this week is The Intern. It's a heartwarming movie. I love heartwarming movies with happy endings, but the reason I recommended it to you is I am finding that there is a remarkable lack of understanding within the general population on three continents, and I only say three because that's, you know, my travels have limited to me to three continents lately. They don't understand the importance of integrity to an economy working, whether it's a company working, a transaction working, change working, transactions working. You know, if you want to change, change happens through transactions. And for transactions to happen, you have to have integrity. And this is a movie, Robert De Niro plays a guy named Ben, who at the age of 70 becomes an intern, a senior intern in a hot new internet company run by Anne Hathaway. It's very charming and funny, but it does a wonderful job of explaining why integrity never goes out of fashion and why integrity is essential to successful businesses and to a successful economy. I've been so struck by my experiences over the last couple months on this issue that we're doing a Solaria report with a wonderful Australian entrepreneur, Jason Bawden-Smith, on February 11th. We're going to be talking about that. And then I've asked John Rappaport to do his next one with me on this topic, and I'm hoping I'll talk to him Saturday. I hope he agrees. So you're going to be hearing a lot more about integrity and leadership from me. As I said, there's some great books on leadership in the best books for 2016, and integrity is what we need to get our economies going again. So, you know, this is a just do it kind of thing, and the way you get integrity happening is you just do it and you attract people like that. Very, very important topic. More on that.